Wolf, get away from that computer.
Bollocks. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Surfshark. All you need in a VPN and more. Surfshark doesn't only increase online privacy, but it also helps you avoid hackers. If you ever use a public Wi-Fi hotspot, you should be using Surfshark to protect yourself from hackers by encrypting your online data. Surfshark also helps you access entertainment because the content you see is sometimes limited by your geographical location. Can't find something to watch on Netflix or other streaming services? You can unlock new libraries with Surfshark. You'll be able to access everything from news sources to social media apps that were previously unavailable to you. All you have to do is change your virtual location and access all the entertainment you want safely and securely. And you can try out Surfshark completely risk-free because they have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get Surfshark VPN at surfshark.deals/wolf. By using my name, Wolf, as the promo code. You not only get 83% off, but your first 3 months are free. We use it, and you should too. That's surfshark.deals/wolf. A great VPN. Secure your digital life today.
Wolf, get away from those sheep.
Bollocks.
You're listening to the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. Broadcasting from Fort Worth in the great state of Texas. Now, get ready for this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.
Welcome to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. Today we have another episode of In Other News. So let's hear some crazy news stories.
I don't know if some of this counts as news, really. It's just kind of events that have happened or might happen.
Isn't that the definition of news?
I don't know. I thought news, it's like, hey, here's something new with an S on the end of it.
I always thought news stood for like new entertainment, weather, and sports.
I think somebody reverse engineered that
and
put that acronym together to make it fit. I think it just means news, something new. Like what's something new?
What's new?
What's new? Tell me more than one thing that's new.
Pussycat?
Yeah, nothing.
Whoa.
What's new? That's Tom Jones, and if you're still alive, Tom, and haven't died yet, the Shepherd is willing to perform your greatest hits live with an acoustic guitar on the show.
I'd be very careful saying that, though, because remember we talked about Betty White and Queen Elizabeth and who was going to last longer, and it was like a few days later Betty White died.
Yeah, 3 days later Betty White died.
Tom Jones. We probably shouldn't have said that.
Well, I think with Betty White, it was an anomaly. And we need to prove whether this is a real thing or not if we're going to delve into the supernatural. So let's mention a few other people who are pretty close to it, pretty close to crossing the Rainbow Bridge.
Right.
And if a few of them die within like a week or a month of us mentioning them on the episode, we'll know it's a thing. And then we can charge money to not mention people.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and stick with the Queen Elizabeth one.
Mm.
Okay. Because, you know, she's kind of getting up there.
But she's reptilian, though. I think she lives to about 300 years old, or at least according to something I read the other day.
Maybe she's actually older than we think she is.
Mm.
Maybe her birth was hidden.
800 years old or something like that.
I'm going to go out on a limb and go with Cher.
Cher?
Yeah.
Yeah. Her best days are behind her. I don't think we'll miss her if she kind of dies. I mean, it'd be tragic for her family and stuff. And Cher, you produced a few good songs, then you went a little bit mental and haven't done anything decent in about 25 years, but you know, she's at that age where you know, one bad step on the stairs and it could
Cher wouldn't be that big of a surprise, like Bob Saget surprise, you know, the Meatloaf dude, you know, he just died. Louis Anderson, not really a surprise. It's not like he was the picture of health or anything like that.
I don't know who that is.
He's a comedian.
Is he?
Yeah.
Was.
Yeah, exactly. But Cher's one of those where she looks healthy, but you don't know. I mean, Bob Saget looked healthy. Nobody knew. Norm Macdonald looked healthy. Nobody knew. And just, bam, dropped like that. So,
So
my guess is Cher. What's yours?
I want to double down on Cher, actually. Let's use our unknown effect mojo to... Okay.
So we're just going with Cher.
Yeah, this is either going to kill her or revive her career.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And we're not super fussy which one, just as long as we know we've had an effect, if we're honest.
Right? That's true.
So first article today, it's not really news. It just kind of sums up the last couple of years for me. Oregon governor signs bill removing reading, writing, and math requirements for high school kids to help students of color.
Well, wait. Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah.
If you want to go that way, yeah. Right? What are they going to teach then? If they're not going to teach them to read or write or do math, what are they going to learn in high school?
I don't know. Post-feminist studies.
Women and gender studies.
Yeah. That's maybe like 14th century dwarf literature.
Yeah, but know. Are they going to bring back, what is it, home economics? You know, where you learn how to cook and stuff?
Probably not.
Yeah, but isn't like all the fancy foods and everything in that kind of important in the Pacific Northwest, you know, cooking all those weird dishes and vegan stuff and all that?
Well, they're not going to be teaching them math anymore, so I don't know if the kids will know how much to pay for the ingredients.
Oh, that's a good point.
Or be able to read the ingredients.
Or be able to measure.
Or be able to read a recipe.
Yeah.
Or measure, so.
Mm. So maybe like wood shop? Oh, got to measure. Got to measure.
Yeah, got to use a lot of math in that, a lot of geometry.
Well, even going back to the women and gender studies, so you got to be able to read about stuff.
Mm.
So what can you do if you can't read, write, or do math?
Mm.
Podcasting.
You can become the governor of Oregon.
Apparently so.
Yeah. So let's move on from that crap.
Okay.
So, wrestler known as Hannibal is banned after repeatedly stabbing a referee in the head with a spike, for real, after losing a match.
Where was this at? Does it say?
Hopefully. Right. Wrestler Devin Nicholson, lovely name, not as intimidating in wrestling as Hannibal. I will eat your face, or is Mr. Nicholson. Has been banned. That's a bit much, isn't it? You'd figure it'd just get a temporary
fine.
Yeah, fine, like $200 per stab.
Yeah, I have to sit out for like a week.
Yeah. So Lando Del Toro, the referee, had been put in a chokehold and stabbed by Nicholson multiple times after he had lost a match in Texas on Saturday night. Go Texas.
Go Texas.
We stab referees in the head where other states are too afraid to. Right.
Although the Cowboys didn't.
They didn't, no. There's probably a referee who needed
probably
some action. Del Toro was taken to the hospital where he needed 7 staples to close the gashes to his skull. Jerry Bostick, the CEO of World Pro Class Wrestling, which I'll be honest with you, I've never heard of.
I haven't either.
Said that the organization will no longer be involved with Nicholson and that stunt was planned by him.
Well, he had to have kind of planned it beforehand to have a spike with him in the wrestling ring.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who carry some strange things. I mean, you know, we're in Texas. Pretty much everybody carries a knife, but I don't know anybody who carries a spike.
Maybe he just forgot his knife that day and said, oh, here's a spike laying here.
Yeah.
Wait, does it say what kind of spike?
Oh, you mean like where he got it from?
And no, stuff, like
or
what
how
kind,
big it is.
Yeah, like how big a spike? Because, I mean, I'm picturing like big. You know, but it could be just like a nail.
You're like Vlad the Impaler type spike,
exactly.
Like putting a body on it.
Right.
All right. He's been banned from ever returning to the mat. He wrestles under the names Hannibal and Blood Hunter. He'd lost his match against fellow wrestler Carlito in Irving, Texas on Saturday night. And for those of you listening or watching, that's like about 15 minutes away from us. So we're pissed we missed that.
Yeah.
Nicholson, 39. Then took his anger out on referee Lando Del Toro, grabbing him in a headlock and carving up his skull with the metal spike. Now, it's got some pictures here, which, again, is always great use for our audio listeners. I will show on the video there. There's Hannibal spiking the referee in the head. Oh. He looks in major discomfort, but that guy's making the most of it in the background there, making sure he records it for future generations.
He's living the best life right there.
So it doesn't look like a huge spike. It's like, I don't know, maybe like 6 inches, nine inches.
No, that's pretty big.
Yeah. I mean, that type of length, I mean, it's just sticking out a little bit out the end of his fist. So like I tell my wife, that's about 11 inches, I think.
That, yeah, 11, 12 inches.
Yeah, it's about 11 or 12 inches there. Yeah. The Canadian-born wrestler explains a lot.
Well, there you go.
Bloody Canada. Yeah. And YouTube personality claimed the ref was hired to bleed during World Class Revolution's Christmas Star Wars event. How many titles are they going to have for this wrestling event?
That was the most confusing sentence I think I've ever heard in a news report.
Yeah, this just... Right, okay.
The wrestling match have to do with Star Wars?
Right. So this wrestling group is called World Pro Class Wrestling.
Okay.
And they held an event named the World Class Revolution's Christmas Star Wars event. That's a lot to fit on a t-shirt, isn't it?
I think that was maybe just a ploy to get people into the event.
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Hey, there's some Star Wars Christmas event. Let's go to that. And then they walk into a wrestling match.
Yeah.
Bait and switch.
And then watch some guy stab somebody in the head with a 10 or 11 inch spike or 9 inches if it's cold. I don't know.
But he could have had it painted up like a lightsaber and that would have made it more interesting.
Well, listen to this. This is what the wrestler says. He said, "This referee was supposed to bleed from razor blade cuts. I assume he actually cut himself with the razor blades." Spectators watched in horror, screaming, "Get off him." I'm sure they shouted probably different things, but anyway. Nicholson repeatedly plunged the sharp object into Del Toro as blood oozed down the front of his face. And that's it. No follow-up. No nothing. So.
That's weird.
Yeah, but...
But great shout out for our home state of Texas.
Yeah. We'll be on the lookout for the next event there. Yes. Hold, and we might actually sneak in a cell phone and take some video footage because I'm pretty sure this organization doesn't have enough money to sue us if we post it online. Right. So here's a guy trying to make more of his life, get himself into a better financial position.
Okay.
Armed bank robber holds up bank for $150.
A terrible bank.
It is a terrible bank. Then deposits money in his own account at the ATM outside seconds later. I like how he immediately thought, I'm going to save this. I've been irresponsible in robbing a bank, but I'm going to save it.
Right. So he robs the bank, gets $150.
Yeah.
Turns around, walks outside and deposits it.
Mm. Well, a few minutes later. Well, it says seconds later here.
Seconds later, or a few minutes later.
Might be 19,000 seconds later.
Yeah, but why didn't he try to at least escape?
Right, we'll find out. Delaware State Police arrested 44-year-old McRoberts Williams. That's a bit of a... It's really two last names, isn't it?
Yeah.
McRoberts and Williams. He should have been like William McRoberts or Robert Williams.
Right.
So his parents screwed up there. Set him on a path to failure. Right, he robbed a Wells Fargo bank in Wilmington. Police said Williams of California approached a 25-year-old female bank teller behind a counter, no photo unfortunately, and handed her a note informing her it was a robbery. Police said as soon as he got outside the bank, he made a deposit at an ATM just outside the building. Now, shout out to the bank teller who only gave him $150.
Right.
Dollars.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, she probably got employee of the month
after Look, honestly, mate, how much money is it going to take for you to piss off? He's going to be like, 10,000? Not a chance.
No.
The best I can do is, like 200. It's 200. No, actually, I've counted. There's a lot of ones. 150. We've got $150. Will that do? Yep.
Yeah. And then?
And he paid it straight back into the bank. So did he really steal it?
Well, he got it into his account at least.
Yeah, he just moved the money around within the banking system. So he didn't really steal it.
Money laundering, really.
Well, yeah. So police said as soon as he got outside the bank, he made a deposit at an ATM just outside the building. After his pit stop, he continued to flee, hiding behind a nearby shopping center before local troopers found him and he was arrested without incident. Now, I don't know about you, I would figure it'd be better to hide within a shopping center and just kind of mingle, blend in.
Right.
If you're kind of like hiding behind a dumpster or something outside a shopping center.
Looks a bit suspicious.
And I'm a police officer, I'm going to think, he is not in Nordstrom Rack for a new tie.
Right. Right. He is definitely up to something.
Yeah, he's stealing something.
But, I mean, let's be honest, though. Backing up, he hid next to the little shopping center.
Right.
But this is also the same guy that robbed a bank and immediately deposited the money back in. Yeah. So it's not like we expected him to make better decisions as the story moved on.
Right. Well, once we've gone past the bullet points of the article, they get immediately judgmental and say, a mentally unstable bank robber was arrested after holding up a Delaware bank for $150, then immediately depositing the stolen cash in his own bank account. Right. After he was apprehended, Williams told cops that he traveled to Delaware by riding on the exterior of a cargo train and that his mind is currently being controlled by a third party via an implant located somewhere in his body.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yes.
You know, okay. That's justifiable.
Well, at least the article summed that up and explained why he did what he did.
Well,
I mean, implant controlled by a third party. Now that makes sense. When you're playing a video game, like you're playing, you know, Grand Theft Auto or something like that, right? And you're like, oh, I'm going to go rob this bank, but I'm only going to take $150. Mm. And then he goes outside. The little stars are lighting up, and, you know, the police are coming or whatever. He's like, oh, I'm going to go hide over here behind this dumpster.
Mm.
Makes sense.
One thing I found out with the Grand Theft Auto series is it's not that rewarding stealing the money in it. You don't get much of a dopamine rush, whereas if you steal a car in it and just go down the sidewalk just mowing over people, that's a little more enjoyable. Fun. So I don't know if that points to a greater need in human society for people to just steal cars and drive over people. Or
do you think the guy thought he was in Grand Theft Auto? And that's why I did it.
I'm pretty sure that everywhere in Grand Theft Auto 5, when you steal money, it's more than $150 unless you mug somebody.
I don't know. I haven't played it in a very long time.
But also my thought is, if he is being controlled or spoken to via this implant,
right
that whoever's controlling it must be from the Dr. Evil pre-carcinogenic freezing, whatever it was, cryogenic freezing. Because if he's only going for $150, it's like Dr. Evil when he's going $1 million, he's still $150. It's like they need to update, you know, kind of what the economy's like at the moment, build in inflation and stuff.
Ooh, what if he's a time traveler?
What's he traveling in?
I don't know.
Because he could have hidden that. Can he? Gone back.
Yeah, but maybe it was like some kind of time machine where he just appears and he doesn't have the machine. Like the machine exists. A wormhole kind of thing or whatever. And so that's the dude controlling him, but he's from way in the past. So $150 was a lot of money.
Mm.
Probably not.
Right. I've got a lovely story about a doctor here. And he's one of those doctors where if I was this type of doctor, I'd be a little bit embarrassed to tell people what I do because there's already so many assumptions tagged in with this job now.
Oh.
No, look at you going straight for the arse.
Mm.
Italian police say fake gynecologists persuaded women to undergo vaginal exams online.
Oh, like the little, like a Zoom call with the doctor rather than coming into the
telecall,
office.
Doctor's telecall thing, I mean, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know,
can't blame the guy for trying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a gynecologist, but I will be honest, there were periods in my life where I tried to do the same thing, but I just wasn't charging for the exam.
Yeah, I mean, good for him for actually charging money for it, too. Reminds me, there was this was like 10, 15 years ago. Some dude stole a mobile mammogram truck and like parked it at the mall, and women were lining up to do mammograms or whatever, and they were paying the dude for it.
I'd be very cheesy where I park, though. I'd be parking by the Dallas Cheerleaders tryout camp or something, not like outside of Walmart.
Right. No, it was at one of the more uppity malls or something like that. You know, the guy figured, well, that's where the prettier women are going to be or whatever. I remember that being a news story like years ago, but very similar. Mm. Maybe this dude got the idea from that dude.
Because you wouldn't do it at the Northeast Mall close to us, because
or Grapevine Mills. Yeah. That would be even worse.
Right. So police in Italy searched the home of a suspected sexual serial predator on Friday. He allegedly posed as a gynecologist to persuade numerous women to undergo vaginal exams through a web link. Authorities in Bari seized smartphones and memory cards from the 40-year-old after they wiretapped the man's phone calls once complaints come in from several alleged victims.
Mm.
The man allegedly contacted women who underwent swabs at clinics in different places across the country, informing them that they were diagnosed with several vaginal infections, police noted in a statement. He then persuaded them to undergo an online gynecological exam. It said over 400 women throughout Italy were targeted. Now, my opening line, if I'm calling up some random woman, can't be, love, we've got your test results back. I think you've got chlamydia. How close can you get to that webcam? Do you have a cushion to sit on? I mean, people at home generally don't have you know, the Zoom setup so you can show your vagina. It's hard enough to get a good face picture most of the time.
Right, but here's the problem I have with this story. There's got to be somebody else that was helping him out. Unless he just, like, was a hacker or something like that and hacked into some database and got, you know, the test results and the phone numbers or email addresses or whatever else. Don't you almost think there was somebody else involved?
There should have been, because, you know, with some of the pop-ups I get on the browser sometimes, it would charge me money to look at this type of stuff. So I think he kind of missed a trick in not setting up, like, a streaming service.
Ooh,
yeah. You know, he could have been like, random amateur housewives are going to show me their vag on Zoom. And for just $1.50 every 5 minutes, you can watch.
Yeah, it's going to be a different one. Yeah. You know, it's one of those luck of the draw, what you get to see.
Right.
You know, you can just kind of tap into the live
Unfortunately,
stream.
Some of them might have chlamydia, but you're protected them, by your screen. So.
Yeah, some of them might not be good.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a uplifting story. Crazy Italy, then?
Yeah, crazy Italians.
Yeah. So the last one I got here for you for today. Outrage as Illinois town votes for convicted arsonist who burned down houses. And it's now become their new fire chief, this dude.
So a convicted arsonist becomes the chief of the fire department.
Yeah.
That's a dream job for an arsonist, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because don't arsonists typically... I mean, they're kind of like pyromaniacs, right? I mean, they like burning stuff because they like fire.
Right.
And so then he gets to become the fire chief and see all the fires.
Mm.
And probably good for job security, because if it gets slow, he can go start a fire and then have his boys put it out.
It's really a toss-up whether this or the fake gynecologist has the best job, really.
I think I like the fire chief job better.
Yeah.
I think if I had to pick between the two, that's the one I'd want. If I was like a pyromaniac arsonist, I'd definitely want to do that.
I think it'd be more of a thrill. There's only much thrill you're going to get.
You know, it's going to get boring after a while.
It's going to get boring.
Although burning stuff down, does that get boring after a while? Or do you just try to find different things to burn down?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Maybe someday you set fire to a boat, you know, just a little boat which is docked there, somebody's put their life savings into it,
right,
set fire to it, watch it burn down, then go back to work as my job as local fire chief.
Or because he burns so much down, is it like a race or something to see if he can get the fire put out quicker? Right, like maybe he's like, hey, you know, here's really how the way these fires work.
Yeah,
I know. So we're going to make a better fire department.
Right.
Maybe it would actually be better to hire arsonists as firefighters.
They know what to look for in terms of suspicious fires.
They know how to burn stuff down, so they know how that's working.
Accelerants, place where you light the fires.
So rather than actually sending arsonists to prison, make them firefighters.
Yeah.
Solving the world's problems.
Right. So here's some backstory to see how they made this awesome decision.
Okay.
Right. Convicted arsonist.
Oh, and by the way, you said elected.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
A convicted arsonist was voted as an Illinois town fire chief, and a group of firefighters quit on the spot in disgust after his election on Monday. 10 of the department's 13 firefighters quit, with one throwing his fireman's equipment onto the board table in protest. I like how they turn up dressed for the actual meeting as well.
Well, you know that guy had that plan that he was going to throw all his firefighting equipment or whatever.
Yeah,
so he drug along with him. Yeah.
The outrage came after Assistant Chief Jerame Simmons was named chief of the Prairie DuPont Volunteer Fire Department in St. Clair County. The now 41-year-old fire chief was accused of setting fire to a vacant home and setting another fire at DePue High School back in 1999 at the age of 18. Well, I think they should wipe the high school one off the record,
because
who hasn't set fire to their own high school before? Come on.
Right. Just part of growing up.
Yeah. All of our houses could burn down, one woman lashed out during Monday's meeting. I've never seen anything like this. The election of a convicted arsonist has led to mass resignation and a flurry of complaints from even outside of the town's residents. So that's pretty much it then.
You would have thought, though, trying to defend the town here, right? Somebody would have done some kind of background check on him before they allowed him to run for the job. I mean, don't like elected officials and all that, like even for like the lowest deal, like we had Mary Kelleher running for the water board, you would think they're doing some kind of background check when you apply to, you know, for an elected position or to run for office or whatever. There's got to be some kind of check and balance right, in there,
but
right?
But you're saying this as somebody who lives in a red sea. Remember, we started off the show with like somebody trying to get rid of reading, writing and maths.
Oh.
And that seemed like a good idea. And this is like another good progressive idea. You know, let's get the criminals working back. You know, like let's maybe hire a few serial rapists to help women with, or you know, counseling.
Bank robbers for bank tellers.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Wrestlers for, I don't know. What would you
use a wrestler for?
Yeah, what would you use a retired wrestler for? What would be a good job?
Well, he's not retired. He's just banned.
Well,
but you know, he's got to be pretty antsy. Basically, wanted to wrestle.
Yeah, but that's basically forced retirement.
Well, I mean,
he's banned, so he can't wrestle anymore. So what's he going
to
do?
Well, I'd pay him to go and attack our neighbor across the street twice a week.
Why?
Because he's German and I don't like him.
Oh.
Well, actually, it's not actually connected. Those are two separate things.
Okay.
Correlation does not equal causation. I do not dislike him because he's German. He just happens to be German.
Oh, okay. I thought you disliked him because he was German. No. That's the way that came out.
He does have Nazi tendencies, though, if I'm honest.
What, does he have, like, really nice cut grass?
No, he has a lot of swastika banners hanging outside his house. No, he's just an arsehole. He just calls the police, like, every couple of months on anything, like somebody's dog is barking or somebody's parked, not even outside of his house, but if he doesn't recognize a car down the street, he calls the police on it.
Well,
and it's embarrassing for me because I know all the police officers. Yeah, and so they turn up and they kind of like first call, they come and see me first of all, regardless if it's got nothing to do with me, and say, what's going on? And I say, it's that bloody that German dude across the road.
Can you call the police because a dog is barking?
Mm. If it's a nuisance, public nuisance, yeah. Past a certain time.
How do the dogs know what time it is?
Well, you got to tell them.
Oh.
A good dog owner always tells its dog when it can't bark.
Oh, it's like, hey, it's after 10, so you can't bark anymore.
Yeah.
And the dog's going to say, oh, okay, well, yeah. Hey, thanks for being a good dog owner and letting me know what time it is so I know not to bark.
Yeah, thankfully my dog's too old to bark, so it's not an issue anymore.
Yeah, your dog really doesn't bark. My dog barks all the time.
Yeah, but you've got one of those small robotic dogs.
He's a yippy dog.
Just don't put any more batteries in it.
Yeah. Yeah. You could save money doing that.
Could save money.
Yeah. Well, with all that being said, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. If you're watching this on YouTube, click our little logo down there and please subscribe to our channel. It does help us out, and we will catch you guys on the next one. And one of these days, I'm going to get a new mouse.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, thewolfandtheshepherd.com, to your friends and colleagues. And please leave us a positive review on iTunes when you get a chance. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for additional content. Join us next time for another episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.